Good morning to one and all. Welcome to morning worship at Fruitland Baptist Church. I'm glad to see a good group out this morning. I see some enthusiasm for the Lord today. Amen? All right. Well, we know one thing. God is still in control. We need not worry. I'm going to pull this down so you can maybe hear me. There we go. He's in control and His love for us is never diminished. And aren't you thankful for that this morning? Well, with that in mind today, welcome again to anyone that might be visiting with us. And, of course, we're missing a few people. That's always the case every Sunday. But we'd sure like to keep remembering our community and those that are right close to us here especially, that we'd see them, again, encouraged to be out and involved and interacting, engaged with God's program called the local church. Well, I'm excited about Him this morning. If you're able this morning, let's stand, and it's going to be up on the screen. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. And it's a good thing to stand up for Him. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. Must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory His army shall He lead. Every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. The mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Ye that are men now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Rejoice with danger to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Because or danger be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. Not be long. This day the noise of battle, next the victor's song. A crown of life shall be, He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Let's remain standing for prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, once again we come to You today in this spirit, Lord, again, which You have shown us. The fact of the matter is that You stood up for us. When You went to the cross at Calvary, You stood up even though we were not worthy as sinners. You stood up and said, I love those folks. I'm going to pay the price for their sin. I want them to be in eternal fellowship with Me for all who will accept Me, who will trust Me. And so we thank You. Now, Lord, today I just ask that we'd stand up as Your children, Lord, as Your sons and daughters, that we would stand in this day for You, that we would totally commit ourselves to You and place our faith and trust wholly in You for all things. Lord, help us to resist the call of Satan to get negative or to be discouraged in the day that we live. We know today, Lord, there are many people, probably some in this room, that are struggling with many things, Lord, that are of the forces of darkness. But we are thankful that You indeed are the light of the world. So today, Lord, help us to stand for You. And we're just going to enjoy the fellowship that we have and the day You've given us. And thank You once again, Lord, for loving us beyond anything that we could ever understand or comprehend. again, through the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we thank you for all that have come through these doors. We pray for our community. We pray yet there might be someone on their way, maybe that's struggling today about whether to come. And we just pray, Lord, that you would give them the encouragement and show them the way here to hear the word of God and to fellowship with the saints here at Fruitland. Now, again, we give this service to you for your honor, glory, and for your use. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. The next thing that we want to look at is very briefly our bulletins on the right-hand side of the page. There may be some things that are not in here that you need to let be known, and we're surely going to have some opportunity for that in just a few moments. Tonight, I would invite you again to evening services. They are at 6 o'clock. This Sunday will be another requested message that already is on our website, and you see the title there. It's Protocol, When the Church Gathers. And so this will be one that is played. I'll surely be here. I can stand up here and even mouth the words. But someone asked that we'd play this again live, or that we'd have it preached live here in the gathering. And so that will be tonight at 6 o'clock. Come for that. And then also October 24th, we have a bonfire outside here on the lot somewhere from 5:30 to 7:30. A little time of celebration of the harvest season. And again, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, He being the center of it. Bring everything that's needed for that. There will be no supplied drinks, beverages, food, anything else, but bring your own due to the COVID concerns, and we will not have to deal with any of that type of thing. So come and have a good time. Invite other people. Also, a baptismal class yet next Sunday morning at 9:30 at Sunday school hour. You also have a women's Bible study that's listed here. I do have one person that committed to the Veterans Day celebration at the cemetery. There are room for others. I think I've talked to a couple of you folks about a vocal presentation, but that'll be on Veterans Day, November 11th, 11 o'clock. Commemorates the armistice of the end of World War I. I think that's all we have here. We're pretty much back to our regular schedule, not in totality, but for the bulk of it. And that's listed there at the bottom of that page. Anyone else today that has an announcement or something that needs made known? All right. Good to see a lot of smiles this morning. Lisa, yes. Wonderful. I'm always excited about that. Also be watching. I know Denny is working on reinstituting our men's group. And so there will be some things coming in the future about that as well. Anything else this morning? Yes, Lily.
The reason we haven't been here is we moved again.
You did. Okay. Well, we keep Deb busy with the roster, but that, yeah. I like Orange Street. Yeah. What block? 612. Okay. Yeah. Well, I had noticed you hadn't been here for a while, and I was going to give you a call, and but I'm glad to see you here today. Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you. Good to see you here. Hey, I'm glad for all that are here today. And again, we know we've got some folks missing today, people that are struggling with health issues. Please make people a priority in your prayer. Of course, Sandra, yes.
Today we're starting with children's church.
Okay.
Up to third grade.
Very good. So,
before the message.
Okay. Let's see if I can fit into that category. Yeah. All right, so Children's Church, after Autumn, does her presentation this morning for anyone that's led to send them on down. Also, the end of November, the last Sunday in November, there will be a children's message. So the whole morning service will be emphasis on the kiddos. And as you know, when I do those, we usually have a table or some kind of neat things. Well, I think they're neat, but set up that illustrates a truth from the Scriptures. So thank you for that. Anything else before we move on? Ben, again, continue to pray for many situations, most of which we keep kind of networked here at Fruitland, but we're always marveling at the power of God's prayer and how He works And hopefully we are a church who is on our knees and is praying. So at this time, we don't take a formal offering anymore. There's containers in the back that are appropriate as you see fit. But it is a time that we're going to quiet our hearts, maybe a time of meditation as the ladies play and as I pray corporately here this morning, and thank God for his gifts and the opportunity to give. And then we're going to hear from Autumn. She's going to do a little teaching this morning on our singing. So we're thankful for that. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll meditate a little here before we go into the service. Father in heaven, thank you once again. What a wonderful day and what a wonderful set of days you've given us. And Lord, we can unequivocally say also that even the days that are rainy or when we have 20 below zero weather, they're all, again, from your hand. And they have a beauty and a purpose. And so we thank you, Lord, that as of yet you've seen fit, that your grace is prevailing amongst us and your goodness, along with that grace, shows forth each and every day. As you told Jeremiah, your faithfulness is given and displayed every morning when there's a newness of a new day. And so we thank you for this day today, Lord, and for what all you've done for us. Now, today, Lord, as people have contemplated giving to you, we know that there are scriptural mandates. And yet, Lord, that's for everyone to discern on their own. But we thank you for the ability that you've given us to give. And Father, may it be a cheerful gift today that's given back to you, that we would be so thankful and happy that you would receive it, Lord, and that it's given with a right heart. I pray you'll bless the gift and the giver. And now, Lord, as we prepare for the message and for Autumn to lead us in some singing, I pray that you'd prepare our hearts and quiet them. Lord, this is a very serious message, always has been. You've got a lot to say about the subject, and I pray that people will take heed today, Lord. Maybe there'd be a life change here today, that someone would be saved, or maybe someone that is battling with the forces of darkness would come to you, Lord, or come to all of us today as the body of Christ, that we would be able to help them in this situation. We just, again, Lord, give the condition of our world and nation to you today, and we trust you, Lord, for the outcome. Now, again, thank you for this opportunity, and prepare our hearts, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. I believe you have a handout in your bulletins also this morning. We are doing a few things differently here at Fruitland. And today, one of our musicians, Autumn, is going to emphasize a particular hymn. And so, Autumn, at this time, we're going to let you take right over. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. We've started this teaching of new songs, some of them older, but not everyone knows every song. So a lot of the musicians here are working on that. And this song we have sung here before, but it is still new to a lot of people. It's called Wonderful Merciful Savior. And I'll sing through the first verse, and then I'll have you all join me. And I'll just tell you real quickly, on the first verse, if you look at, let's see, you guys all have single copies. On the back side, it says, rescue the souls of men. When you get to men, you go back to the start of verse 2. And then you sing through verse 2. And when you get to the back side, You'll go past men there to the word way. And then we'll sing the chorus together. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. And when we get down to the bottom of the page, hunger for, then we'll go back to the start of verse 3 on the front page. Sing through all of verse 3. In the back page, you'll go to the word throne. Is everyone following along well, finding it? And then sing through the chorus again to the end, hunger for. Hold on. Forgot my capo. I know we like things to be really orderly and formal, but if it's so formal that we're doing it all on our own power of perfection, then there's no room for grace. We've got to have grace. I need grace.
I'm just to be sure, we're singing with you, or are you going?
I'll sing by myself just this first time for anyone that's not familiar with the song, and then we'll start back over again at the beginning of verse 1.
Wonderful, merciful.
Can you all hear me? Not very well. I'll try that. Together.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a man rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
That. Autumn, I wondered about, what do you call that thing that you put on your
capo?
A cape. I thought maybe that was left there for a hair clip or something for me. No, that probably wasn't the case. Anyway, good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
it's nice to see a lot of smiles out there this morning. I trust that God's at work in your life, that you've fully trusted Him. And amid all the turmoil, all the difficulties, and I know for many of us, there are people in our families who may have illnesses There may be other concerns that we're dealing with this day in our lives, but we know this, that God is in control. And I am thankful for that this day. I trust today again that you are hungry for the Word of God. And I don't want to disappoint you. You do have a handout today that was handed out. It wasn't in the bulletins. That's because I didn't get it done quick enough. I just want to warn you right now, this is probably not going to be a single shot message. Very likely we'll be back next week to complete it, or maybe even further. But I believe it's an important message. It doesn't have, you don't have on your note sheets a lot of fill in the blanks, but there's a lot of things you may want to write down. Because, my friends, what we're dealing with today is a very important message. And not that any of them are less important than others. But it's a message I think that a lot of Bible-believing Christianity even today avoids. I think some of them are uninformed. I want to let you know today this is a freewheeling message. I don't mind if you interrupt me, but I don't want to get derailed, okay? But there may be some things that I've forgotten also as we go through these notes. What this is about, folks, it's about the forces of darkness this morning and their impact and where they're at today in our world. But we're also going to learn from the Word of God the truths and the assurances that He gives us. So this is really broken down into 3 points. And again, use those sheets if you're led to do that to help you record a few of the things that I have to say. This is a subject that is so broad and is so vast that you could preach on this for a year. I choose not to do that necessarily, but I choose to, again, just give us directives where we can operate. I pray that all forms and parts of the Word of God are part of your personal study, that these messages today would just enhance, or any day would enhance your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here to preach, for the edification of the saints and a warning to the unbeliever from the power of the Word of God. And, of course, when we see that word power, we know that it's one of two Greek words, the power of the Word of God. It's either the Greek word energos, which means consistent, controlled energy, which again applies the Word of God, or it's the word dunamos, which is dynamite, dynamic, and that's the Word of God. I pray that it'll reach us today in one of those ways that we'll understand that God means what He says and He says what He means. And so today I'm the one that's here to deliver that. By God's grace. The title of our message is Fellowship with the Forces of Darkness, a decision you must face. I'm saying this, folks. We all are faced with this, and there's a lot of things going on today that people are not even aware of, how easily we're swayed by Satan's forces. Well, with that in mind, I pray that you'll pray for me, but let's pray as we go to preach this word. Our Father in heaven, today again, we want to magnify your name. We want to recognize your awesomeness and your mighty power. We want to recognize and we want to process today, Lord, the power of your word and what you have to say. And you have a lot to say. The Bible is not a silent book. The Bible is the answer book, as I've said many times, and it is the book of your will toward man. We could never preach even even one word out of Scripture could fill an hour. Or multiple hours. But Lord, we have to attempt to hit some of these things the best we can, but also that you would lead us back into the Word for further study on our own, that you might grow us and transform us through the power of your Word. So today, Lord, we're dealing with a message that's really important, and quite frankly, Lord, these are scary messages because I've found, Lord, whenever I preach against Satan, I'm also attacked. But I'm still going to stand up and preach, Lord. I don't know what the other churches are going to do, the Bible-believing churches even. I have an idea, Lord, that a lot of them are pretty milquetoast about stuff today. But I believe the whole council must be preached, and so therefore I trust you for the outcome and trust you for whatever will happen, Lord. I'm going to go with you because I know you're the only way. You're the way, the truth, and the life. So I pray that you'd uphold me today, Lord, also that you deal in people's lives here today and those that are affected by lives here today, even also for our internet ministry and those that may be listening to this broadcast later after it's put on the website. Lord, that you'd work in their hearts, that this would be a day of decision before it's too late. And we know, Lord, that there is a battle to do with the forces of darkness. As I've said before, you've won the war, but the battle rages on. Lord, help me through the power of the Spirit to bring this today out of love for people and love for you, and we thank you for all that are here. Lord, we pray for those that could not be here today as well, that this might not be a message that was something that they needed to hear and Satan stopped them. But Lord, that in some way or another, you'll touch them and reach them. Pray for a soul to be saved, life to be transformed. Now it's all for you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, I come to you this morning on behalf of a jealous God. You know what it is to experience jealousy? You may be jealous about a lot of things in your life. I'm jealous of my mate. Oh, there she is, right there. Yeah. I don't want to share with any other people. Well, not people in general, but... Well, do you know, Jane? Okay. Yeah. We're jealous about certain things that are near and dear to us, my friends. Meaning what? We don't want those that shouldn't be in that position involved in their lives. I want to tell you today, God's a jealous God. He loves people. He is the only God with a capital G, folks. And he's jealous. He does not want people under the God of the little G's, and there are many of those, but let me tell you, the progenerator and the basis of all that stuff is God's adversary, Satan, the fallen angel Lucifer, who goes about, according to the Apostle Peter, like a roaring lion, wreaking havoc. You know what? He is out there today to try to trip every one of us up in this room. He's dangerous, and people need to know that. I better go back to my text. I have a clock today in the back. You know, when we were preaching outside, I was going by the shadows. Today wasn't the day that the time changed, was it? Kim told me that earlier this week. But that's why a pastor and his wife should always be at church early. It's next week, Kim? 2 weeks? Okay. You know, on the farm, when we milked, that I've told you, and I don't want to get bogged down on that either, but that was the tough day when you went from, when you went back to daylight, when you went to daylight savings time, because it got dark so early at night, and of course, the cows operate by the shadows, not by the... Anyway, today we've got a clock, so someone shut me off at 20 till. If we can't get done today, we'll come back, all right? And that might even mess up the music stuff, but we'll get it when we can. But this is an important message. Next message is on joy. That's important, too. Anyway, a jealous God that loves, that I love, and who loves you and me and all people. Amen. We live in the church age, my friends, and it is the age of grace, but God has always been gracious. Never forget that. And he always worked through grace. But this is specifically where we're at in God's timeline, which has technical implications to how the God of the Bible operates. But one thing among many that is transcendent with God is his position as the creator and lover of his people and his establishment of righteousness and light and good. Those things come from God's almighty hand, folks. But as we'll learn here shortly, Satan manifests himself as an angel of light. Good things directed to his people versus the forces of unrighteousness, of darkness and evil supported by the fallen angel Lucifer, also known as the devil and Satan, who rebelled against God. You can read all about that in the scriptures too, folks. Pride is what got Satan, Lucifer, into that position. Pride is the basis of all sin. I'm not going to talk about that any further, but you can think about it. Talk about it over the noon hour. As I mentioned last week, the war between God and Satan is over. God won, but the battle rages on for the souls of men. All of us are faced with decisions in that battle to investigate and or pursue the forces of light, God, versus the forces of darkness, Satan and his angels. Let me tell you something this morning, folks. God is straightforward. He does not mess around. I agree, sometimes the Word of God can be difficult to grasp at the first or second readings, possibly. But when you study the Word, and if you are a believer today, and let me just say this, you can't understand the Word of God today unless you're a believer. You know why that is? Because it's through the Holy Spirit that we're taught. That's how we come to know the Word of God and how it's revealed to us, my friends. That's how we're saved. We're not saved accidentally by something we fall into today. We're saved because, if you're genuinely saved, you're saved because God called you to salvation. See, because salvation is a total work of Almighty God. That's why He's so fantastic. God's straightforward. He does not mince words. You don't have to wonder about Him. He's all righteousness, folks. Someone asked me the other day, what's righteousness mean? It means right. None of us in this room are right by our own doing. This morning, though, if you're saved, the Bible says that we've been declared righteous. God's righteousness has been imputed to us, to our negative account, my friends. That's where we stand today. We stand because God stood for us. See, stand up for Jesus. Well, we should. Anyway, God's straightforward, but you tell me about Satan. He's a trickster. He's a deceiver. This morning, the battle with those forces, and what we're talking about specifically are the forces of darkness. There may be some controversial things that I'm going to talk about this morning. Someone asked me, will this be suitable for children? And you know what? Yes, it will be. Because I pray today that this message from God, as people hear about it, you know, people are worried about their children hearing the Word of God. And what's going on? And I'm going to talk about this today. They don't think one thing about sending their children to a haunted house or right into Satan's arms. But they're worried maybe someone will hear something here that might scare hell out of people today. I think we need to take a listen. Anyway, 3 points. We are going to be talking about the occult today, my friends. And I'm going to define that to you in the best way I can. This is not a dictionary definition. This is Crazy John's definition this morning. And I did write that out for you, okay? But I don't think I'm all that crazy, folks. I think what we're going to look into in the next week or two here, and starting this morning, is what's really going on today. And people need to know, and they need to think about this stuff. Now, I know you're all saying, well, he's going to preach one of those Halloween messages. No, I'm not going to say much about Halloween this year. Even though I've said a lot in the past, and let me say that this is all of our decisions. Have I ever come to your homes and stopped you from celebrating Halloween? No, in fact, if you got some candy, I'll take it. And I have plenty of resources around here, and there are plenty of resources, the Bible number one, that will tell you about some of the things that are associated with Halloween. But you know what? You're free to do whatever you want. Maybe. As a Christian. But there are connections. And my friends, it's called the occult. The first point today is the dilemma and the draw of the occult. The occult is the forces of darkness. I'm going to give you my definition here this morning, and here it is. Make sure I got it printed correctly the other day when I put this together. It is that which is hidden to be discovered. You know what? We're all people that wonder about a lot of things. Tell me some of the things we wonder about. Where did I? Yeah. More. How did we get here? Where am I going? You know the classical questions. Let me just tell you this, folks. The Bible gives an answer to every one of those. And I believe it's the accurate answer. It claims to be. We've talked about that before. But you know what? I think a lot of people are saying, I wonder if there's more to this than what God's told us. Well, let me just say this morning. I think there is a lot more to things than what God's told us, but He's given us everything we need to know. And that's the danger of the occult, when we let ourselves be deceived by Satan and move toward things that we think maybe are there, and we begin to experiment and explore this stuff, and you know, this deceiver called Satan is right there to give us a bunch of stuff to trick us and to snatch us. So this is the beginning of, as I define the occult here in my quick little definition, it's something external beyond what God has told us that people are dabbling with because they think there's what? There's more something out there to get. And they believe in their heart, and this is the thing. Somewhere there's more there, and I've been deceived. I've been shortchanged, and I want to explore it. Do you agree with me on that, folks? Rest of my definition, that which is hidden that is to be discovered, something that we have been misled on or don't know and have been denied access to. Folks, if you think that this morning, and if you believe that that may be the case, that you want to explore some of those avenues, be careful. Be warned. God answers the answers that you have if you'll dig in His Word deep enough. And my friends, that's what the body of Christ, the local church, is for today too. You know, all of us are on a different scale in our spiritual walk. There could be some here this morning that are not on a spiritual walk. Maybe they're under the influence of the wicked one. They don't even know it today. For those that are born again believers, we're all in a different place. But you know, the idea here today is, are we all growing in Christ? It's the Word that grows us, folks. It changes us. It transforms us. So that's the danger zone, folks. That's what's called the occult. It's looking for something that you are not satisfied with, an answer, or something that you believe is there beyond what you already know. Well, experimentation is what I have here. By the way, most of my words this morning are D words. The sermon's kind of alliterated, but you'll catch that later. But folks, God's creation and presentation of Himself in His Word sets the basis for everything. And as I said earlier, God is purposed in what He says. His Word, when it talks about the occult and the forces of darkness, God has told His people from cover to cover, don't mess with it. It's dangerous. And I'm going to illustrate that to you in just a moment here. And I believe that's the case yet for this age we live in, the age of grace. Now, God operates a little differently today. We're going to be looking in Leviticus 20, just for one of the spots here this morning. He operates a little differently in the age of grace. He was talking to Israel, His people. By the way, some people have told me this song and dance, too, that Satan throws up. The Old Testament don't have anything to do. Sorry for my fart. The Old Testament doesn't have any. Doesn't have anything to do. We're in the New Testament era. Wrong. The Old Testament sets the basis for the new. God has not changed, folks. And He is warning people from cover to cover, don't mess with the forces of darkness. He is consistent on that from cover to cover. God sets the standard in His Word, and He sets the basis for everything. Satan is the one who causes people to question. And you remember, I don't know, what, Sunday or two ago, we looked at Eve. How Satan manifests himself as a snake, serpent. And he causes her to question. And he tempts us to investigate what we're missing. Folks, you are not missing one thing if you have investigated the Word of God. Amen. It has everything we need for our spiritual nourishment, my friends. Never be hoodwinked on that. Now, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, just to remind ourselves here. This is scripturally based. You know, I don't come up here and preach a Reader's Digest message like I used to hear in the EUB church in the late days and early United Methodist Church days out in the country. You know, no, this has some substance. The speaker may not be much, but the stuff is God's, okay? That's what's important. What's that, Lisa? What did I say? Hold on here a minute. I've got it. Something profound. You pay a lot of money for me to come up with these things. He tempts us to investigate what we are missing. Satan causes people to question, like Eve, and he tempts us to investigate what we are missing. We're missing nothing, folks. It's complete. By the way, I was going to reference this later. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration. You know, it's all there, folks. Satan has placed that doubt that there's something more. I could get off on a rabbit trail about the canon of Scripture. And it's not such a fervor as it was maybe 10, 15 years ago, but let me tell you something, folks. People have thrashed through this for centuries. And the people at that time, and I'm talking the Council of Nicaea here back in the 300s, they thrashed through the canon of Scripture. These people were a lot closer to all these things than we are. And they settled on it. They said, this 66-book Bible is complete. It is not. It has no contradictions in it. And historically, it had been transferred down from the autographs. What we have in front of us today is the Word of God. And you want to know where America went wrong? It wasn't political things that caused America to get in the shape it's in today. It went wrong when this stopped being the basis for how we operate. But let's be honest, America was never right either in totality. But it did have an underpinning of the Word of God. And that is the very thing we're dealing with today, my friends. Because I'll tell you what, well, I preached enough about that last week. It's satanic stuff that we're dealing with. Anyway, where was I at here? Oh, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. And again, I do have the King James here this morning. I like the King James Version. I am not King James only for any of you that are visiting, but I believe it's a very good translation. It does have some deficiencies like all do. There's only one iteration of Scripture that is perfect, and that was the original autographs. But let me tell you, we have the Word of God here in front of us. Here's Paul teaching about false prophets, verse 13. For such are false prophets, you can read back before that, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. He's talking about false teachers here. And no marvel, Paul says, don't be surprised. Because what's he say next? For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Folks, what Satan has to say is enticing. There's something about that, you see, when he tempts people, just like with Eve. We're tempted to say, yeah, I want to look into that further. Because maybe there is something that I've missed. And he comes as an angel of light. You heard that about the snake. Snake was one of the most beautiful critters around. By the way, in those days, Lily, I know you're afraid of them. The snakes did not crawl on their bellies. You can find that from Scripture. They were upright animals. But what happened after the fall, or after God cursed the snake, Satan? He's on the ground. He's in the dirt. And that's exactly where he's at. He's a creeping... Lily will get excited if I talk about snakes too much today. Satan is transformed into an angel of light. 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What he's talking about here is the other fallen angels. Revelation says a third of the angels fell with Lucifer. But it's not even that. It's his agents today in the form of people that are involved in that group too. Jason? Yep. Thank you. Appreciate that. Listen, there's so much we could say. By the way, if you believe in the lie of evolution today, now we know there is microevolution. Things change they adapt to the environment that they live in, but there is no macroevolution. The order of the world was created by God. Creation. You can investigate that too. The book tells you about that as well. Well, folks, darkness. We just talked about the time here a minute ago. And I just said, you know, when we were milking, 4 o'clock on daylight savings time, we knew that we had to get out there and milk when we didn't normally milk till 5:30. Darkness. By the way, we're in the season of darkness right now. Aren't we? Several of you remarked, hey, Pastor, it's getting dark early. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that that's where Satan's forces are exponentially increased? Now, I'm going to say some controversial things this morning. Some of you have gotten mad at me in the past. I still love you. But you know what? That I'm going to mention All Hallows' Eve. Halloween, that's where that comes from. It comes from Roman Catholic teachings. It's a venerated day toward all those souls that have been departed. Let's just look at that for a minute. The Bible teaches a couple of things, and I've got them profoundly written down here somewhere. Where did I have that now? Yeah, here it is. When we depart from this life, the soul and the body are separated, folks. There is no activity of the departed souls in interaction with the world. Now, some of you may, I wonder about, that's the occult, folks. Because this is, I got to keep this in a nutshell here. The Bible teaches there are two ends. For the believer, it's the paradise of God's presence. For the unbeliever, it's the torture of God's absence. There is no intermediary state. I know some are saying, well, I've heard, I've experienced. And I'm telling you, it's not of God, it's of Satan if you are dabbling into that. You cannot call up old Uncle Fred in a seance and get a message from him. God's given you the message. And there's only two destinies for departed souls, my friends. By the way, where are you at today? And I. Anyway, back to where I'm at. Do you think it's no significance that the veneration of the dead falls in the fall of the year, the days of the darkness? And now this will really go with you because I've had this before. And I understand, I still celebrate Christ's birth, but I want to tell you, Christ was born last month. And I know you're saying, well, we love December 25th. I understand that. But you know what December 25th is, folks? It's the winter solstice. It's a celebration of darkness. And that's where all this stuff that goes along with that came from, my friends. You can investigate. I know you're going to get mad at me. But you know what? I don't care. Because I'm here to introduce you to what is going on. Darkness. That's where Satan operates because he is the angel of darkness, folks. Jesus is the light of the world. But just think about that, folks, where a lot of these things came from. I'm not telling you not to celebrate Christ's birth this December. But I tell you what, you better celebrate it every day. It's that important because he came for you and he came for me. And when we start playing around with this stuff, you see, because I'm going to tell you something this morning. The most ignorant people there are, and this will probably get me my third letter in the file. Some of you don't like that when I say, I don't have any letters in my file. But you know, when I came to Fruitland, I came and I said, I'll be here as long as God wants me here. And it could be various factors that would cause that to stop. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah. It'll come back to me, Lord willing. Isn't that something? I'm getting like that more and more. Pray for me, folks. But I had something I was going to comment on.
I want to interrupt for a second, Pastor.
1 second. Maybe it'll come back to me.
Okay. You know, they've convinced churches about Halloween. They've convinced churches about Christmas. And yesterday, I was driving around with my wife, and we saw a sign in front of a church that you would be surprised of. It was a rainbow telling everybody they're welcome here.
Oh, that's right here in town. Yeah. Now, it just came back to me a minute, Dean.
So they're convincing people of all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's out there, folks, the deceptions. Now, what was I had it back in a minute. Now I lost it again. It'll come again. The Spirit had it brought up and it didn't. What was I going to say? Oh, The Christians are some, this will, like I said, the third slip in my file. The Christians are some of the most ignorant people around. I didn't say it was you in this room, folks, but I'm going to claim for myself. Paul said, you better be informed. But this is the thing, folks. The non-believing world, the people that are involved in the forces of the occult, they know about the winter solstice on December 25th. And you know what they're saying? Look at them fool Christians. They've bought into the lie. I know. It's been good, folks, for all these years, if this is it. But our mistrust of God and who to believe is the dilemma, and it is the draw of the forces of darkness. Folks, well, I don't have it. I don't, by the way, if you ever try to text me within an hour of church or call me, I don't have my phone in my pocket. It's in the car. It's locked in the glove compartment. So don't say, well, John, you didn't respond to me. Well, that's true, because I don't have the device. And I'm not telling you to believe everything on the device, but that device, if you have access to it today, or your computer or whatever, you can look this stuff up. I'm not crazy. Well, some of you call me crazy, John. But this is reality, folks. The forces of darkness. Point two, and we're down to about 7 minutes. Again, I couldn't go into everything there, but I'm just pointing out here, Satan is a trickster. And people are deceived, including many Christians. And I do believe there are genuine Christians. I'm certain that I'm deceived on things, even. You know, we are in our finite minds as sinners, we're unable to grasp all the infinite truths as we should. That's why we always want to be careful to keep our position. We're learners. We're learners. We never arrive. By the way, fellowship. Fellowship is not sitting down to eat. And what my title meant today is part, you could insert the word partnership. Fellowship with the forces of darkness. Partnership. If you're involved with the forces of darkness, you're a partner in Satan's work. Point two. Amen? The day, and we won't get very far on this, folks. Are we okay if we don't do things the way it's scheduled? We might have to come back next week, Lord willing, in the week after to complete this. Well, thank you, Jane. I'll remember that sometime. You know, I wonder if you'd ever let me have a... What would you think if we had an all-day preaching service? I heard a little grumbling. Oh, well, go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, no, I was grumbling.
Folks, I'm just like Moses with Kim, you know. Grumble, grumble. No, she's not that way. Well, sometime when things get back like they could be again, we're going to have everyone out to the farm again. But I don't think we'll get her done this year for various reasons. But sometime, you know, we used to do that. We'd set up some tents and, you know. Well, we might have open house. Is that still a possibility, Kim? We try to do that every year, too. Have an open house. You're all invited. Yeah, and there's good food.
I'll love to come to your house, Joe.
Well, Jane, we'll keep that in mind, okay? All right. Second point today of three. Danger and warning of exploration or fellowship or partnership with the demonic spiritual realm. I've already told you the Bible's consistent. Now we're going to look at least one portion, but I'm going to give you others that you can investigate, and there's more. If you haven't understood it yet, God is universally opposed to any association with darkness. For His people, or for that matter, anyone. Old Testament, New Testament. Many examples. I'm going to give you a few, and then we're going to look at one here quickly this morning. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 4 here in just a minute. But I'm going to give you a few. Isaiah 47, as the whole chat of, 24 through 27. Isaiah 44, a whole chapter. Isaiah 8, 18 through 22. Okay, I'll slow down. I do have a problem with that. When I get fired up, I start to rattle. Isaiah 47, 24 through 27. Isaiah 44, the whole chapter. Isaiah 8, 18 through 22. Put an asterisk by that. That's a really powerful text. Jeremiah 27, 9 through 10. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. And there's a lot more. By the way, I don't know, I should teach more on these common things. I take a lot for granted. Do you have a concordance? Do you have like a Strong's concordance? If you don't, you can. If you have a phone, it's free. Go to Bible Hub or programs like that. You can look all this up. You know, I've heard that charge before with the old KJV. I can't understand it. Well, you know what? I can't understand why you can't look it up. Because any of the words in English are not, they don't have the dynamics that they do in the Greek or the Hebrew. And a little bit of Aramaic. But folks, it's there. And you have the power today to do it in your hand. You know? And I've got a couple of Strong's concordances, but you know, I haven't cracked. Well, I cracked one the other day when I didn't have my phone before a service because there was something that came to mind. But I use the devices because they're quick. But one of my old Strong's down there, the cover's all worn. It's an embarrassment. You know, that's why I keep people out of. No, I don't keep you out of the office, but it's an embarrassment. Patsy and Zelpha, when they cleaned it, maybe Autumn and Lisa, you're finding the same thing. It's just like at the farm. I got stuff all over the place. Can't find any of it. But it's there. Oh, the day that I'm gone from here, you're going to have a load to haul. But God's opposed to all this association, Old Testament or New Testament. Never, never, never mess with it. Because the consequences can be deadly. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 for our last few minutes. Is it okay if we come back? Okay. Deuteronomy 4. And we're going to start with verse 1 here. If I get my pages turned correctly. We're also going to look at Leviticus 20 here in a little bit, but we'll start with Deuteronomy 4. What is the book of Deuteronomy in the last 3 minutes here today? It's again where God lays down His what? His will, the law, for the people of Israel. Okay? God dearly loved Israel. He put His central focus on Israel. He did not want Israel to be corrupt, thusly He gave commandments. Let me tell you this today, folks. If you are a child of God, today we are in the church age. We're called Christians. Okay? There are some differentiations in the New Testament from the Old. But the fact of the matter is, whether you were an Old Testament Israelite or you're a modern-day New Testament born-again, blood-bought Christian, you're someone that is near and dear to God. The mechanics were a little different with Israel. God gave this law about His holiness because He did not want His people corrupted. That's still the case. That's still the case. Notice here in verse 1 of chapter 4, He says, "Now therefore, hearken, O Israel." That's an old King James word. Hearken means listen, pay attention unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Notice in verse 2, you shall what? Not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. He says this is important. Interestingly, how does the Apostle John close the book of Revelation? Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. It's very detrimental when you start to do that. May God help the ding-dong translators a lot over the years that have fooled with God's Word. Now here's the example in the last two or three minutes here. See, Israel had a lot of problems. They did all the way through because they didn't listen to God. But here he's laying it out. He says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. Some people said, the Old Testament's pretty harsh. God did a lot of tough things with people. That's how serious this stuff is, folks. What's being talked about here, if you back up just a little bit in the text, is that God's people Israel listened to a prophet. Remember what his name was? Balaam. He's the guy that a dumb donkey had to talk to. Yeah, it's there, Lisa. Some of us are dumb donkeys. That is not the King James translation. But what they did, they followed the teachings of Balaam, and you have this king, again, Balak. See, what he wanted to do, he wanted to corrupt Israel. And God told him no, but you know what? What they did, they didn't listen to God. They went up on this mountain, it was called Mount Peor, but they set up an idol, Baal worship. That's the occult. It's the God of the little G's, who is no God. They don't exist, but the people did what? They worshiped him. I'm going to quit there today, but you can read on. God dealt with them in a harsh way. That's how much God does not want us messing, his people messing with this influence. Now, folks, I got a ton of stuff here. We're going to have to quit because it is dinner time. Read ahead. That's fine. I'll preach here tomorrow at 10 o'clock if you're here. Well, I better be careful about that. I may have something on the schedule for my day off. You'll see what happens here, folks, and what God says. He's going to warn Israel again about all these things, just like he's warning us today. Because, folks, the forces of darkness are out there. And they're there, and Satan's trying to trip people up. He's trying to trip Christians up. We'll address this fully in the next probably 2 to 3 weeks. Is that all right? But as of today, as I close, you've already heard enough to know. You know today where you're at on some of this stuff. You may have heard things from me that you think are controversial. But I'll tell you what, folks. Better that you get straightened around today than tomorrow. Better that you get straightened around or I get straightened around tomorrow than the day after. Because you know what? Satan is a guy who has strong hooks. When he gets his hooks into people, the further you go with it, the harder it is to break it. Yeah, we're going to talk about, drugs even have a thing in the forces of dark. You're going to be amazed that, I'm telling you, bring seat belts. Because some of the things I'm going to tell you, you might be shocked. Today's the day to give it up. And today, if you're here and you know in your heart whether you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's not one of us that doesn't know. You know, like I said, there's no neutral in God's gearbox. You're either for him or you're against him. But let me tell you this today, Jesus is for everyone in this room. He's ready to work with you. You know, he died on the cross with open arms. He wants people to come to him. He wants us to come under the shelter of his wings. He wanted Jerusalem to come under the shelter of his wings, you know, but what did he say? But they would not. Today is the day, folks. There's a purpose and a reason. I wish I could go on. But today is a day to choose Jesus Christ. May we be dismissed today with that thought. Where are you at? And where am I at today in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? More to follow. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. Or not, we don't have our hymnals. It's on the overhead. If you're able. 714. And I will have to use one. 714. Jesus bids us shine. You know, we talked today about darkness. We'll talk more about it. But Jesus said he's the light of the world, and he told us as Christians that we are reflectors of His light. Let me ask you today, is your light shining? Or are you walking in darkness? Today's a day to receive the light of the world. You may want to come forward even today that you're excited about Jesus, that He's working in your heart. But wherever you choose to go or whatever you choose to do, don't ever forget He's the light of the world. His light overcomes and overcame the darkness. Verse 1. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. And you know, there's a lot of choruses that go along with Jesus as the light of the world and for us, the reflectors of His light. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Maybe someone today has let their candle go out and you're walking under the forces of darkness and oppression. Today's the day to come to the light of the world. I wish you a blessed afternoon. Let's get prepared to go into the Word deeply and further in our time to come. Again, though, I'm here. I'd love to talk to you today about the Lord Jesus Christ and again show you from the Scriptures His love for you. Let's close in prayer. Matt, I'm going to ask you to close today. Thank you very much.